You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
I do think the Jets will be able to trade him at some point for probably a 2025 seventh round pick. It's going to be basically the proverbial bag of balls that they get for Zach Wilson. It's going to be really hard to get a quarterback who, I don't know if you can trust him as your number two. I mean, what team out there is going to give Zach Wilson their number two job after what happened last year? So he's probably going to have to go into a situation where he'll be competing for the number two job. And it's a lot of money. It's $5.5 billion. No team is going to take on that salary. So the Jets are going to have to eat some of that money to get him to another team.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
What a disaster. What an absolute disaster. Do you guys remember when the Jets took Zach Wilson and how you felt about it when they took him?
I remember it
very
well.
I was like, no. Like a slow motion, like, don't do it.
I remember saying, who?
What do you mean, who?
He wasn't on my radar when I was...
What do you mean? He was projected to go to the Jets.
I know, but I didn't really take it seriously. You know what I mean?
Really?
I was more of a Fields guy back then. And, you know, how well did that turn out?
Justin Fields? You were more of a Justin Fields guy?
Yeah.
Hold on one second. What year was that draft?
That was 2019.
NFL draft. I got a new computer. I'm having fun with it. Here we go. Kyler Murray won.
Or I'm sorry, 2020 then. It'd be the 2020 draft.
Oh boy. Hold on.
Because that was the Trevor Lawrence draft.
Bum, bum, bum. Here we go. Joe Burrow won. No, that's not it.
This is great.
This is fantastic.
Is it the 2021?
Yes. By process of elimination. There we go.
Third time's a charm. There we go. Okay, here we go. So Jacksonville takes Trevor Lawrence. No surprise there, right? Was expected to be the number one. Jacksonville wasn't even on the clock. Done deal. And then Zach Wilson goes number two to the Jets. San Francisco, and I'm like, no, don't do it. And then San Francisco takes Trey Lance, and I was like, what are you doing? No. And so, sure enough, those didn't pan out. Atlanta took Kyle Pitts at four. Now, I loved Kyle Pitts, and I still do. I'm really intrigued to see what happens with Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins there. You know, Kirk Cousins wants his number eight. And I believe Kyle Pitts gave it up to him and he said, I'll give you my number. He's like, just make sure I get a lot of targets. Unfortunately, I think Kyle Pitts has been in a situation where, you know, obviously he just hasn't had a really good quarterback in Atlanta. So I'm really excited to see what he can do this season with Kirk Cousins there as his starting quarterback in Atlanta. Jamar Chase at five, obviously sitting right there right now. That's the steal, right? That was the steal. Trevor Lawrence going one overall. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Which, by the way, now Mac Jones is his backup. That's kind of interesting. But the Bengals getting Jamar Chase at five, we can look back on that and say, wow, that was a steal. Now, I'll say this. I wanted the Bengals to draft Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. And they went with Jamar Chase. And a big reason why they went with Jamar Chase is because Joe Burrow was lobbying for them to draft his former teammate from LSU. So hence they did. And again, kudos to them. Arguably the biggest steal. Jalen Waddle goes to Miami at six. Penei Sewell goes to Detroit Lions at seven. J.C. Horn goes to Carolina at eight. And then Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith to the Eagles at 10. But here's the thing. I'm looking, where did Justin Jefferson go? Wasn't he in the same draft, or was that another draft?
That was the year before, I believe.
That was the year before in the Eagles passed up on him, right? For, was it Aguilar? Who did they pass? They passed up on Justin Jefferson for another wide receiver, but nonetheless. And then, of course, just looking at the quarterback, so the Chicago Bears took Justin Fields at 11. Here's another steal for you. Micah Parsons going to the Dallas Cowboys at 12. Ridiculous, right? And where were the Giants? Because the Giants, they traded. So the Giants were sitting at 11. And they traded with the Chicago Bears, and they traded down to 20. The Giants, and I was, take Micah Parsons, take Micah Parsons. No, they traded with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears took Justin Fields at 11, and the Giants went down to 20 and took Kadarius Toney. Dumb, man, just dumb. And of course, they leave Micah Parsons to the Dallas Cowboys at 12. So stupid. Loved what the Jets did at 14 with Elijah Vera Tucker. Patriots drafting Mac Jones at 15. I still believe in Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones got royally screwed over in New England with the Patriots. I just don't think that was a good match. I don't think Bill Belichick was a good coach for him. Mac Jones allegedly is a guy that doesn't take, you know, well to, you know, stern coaching, which is kind of surprising considering he played at Alabama with Nick Saban. But nonetheless, I'm really intrigued to see where Mac Jones's career goes from here. Again, he's backing up Trevor Lawrence, so maybe this is just a reboot year for him. We'll see if Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy. But that's another, by the way, that's another team that, you know, aspirations to win their division, make a run in the playoffs, and now you've got a solid backup just in case something happens to Trevor Lawrence. Kudos to them. I'm just looking down. Najee Harris going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 24. ATN going to Jacksonville at 25. Both of them stud running backs right now in the NFL. Just looking to see if there's any other, you know, steals here in the draft. And nothing that really, really stands out. But nonetheless, yeah, Jets taking Zach Wilson at 2. I don't understand. 800-919, what a complete poop show that is. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Darren in Newark. Darren, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, Anita, how you doing? Happy Saturday.
Same to you.
Okay, listen, I'm a Jet fan, so I'm very happy right now with the getting Tyron Smith and, okay, you know, some of the other moves they made. So I'm very happy. But great. I really called you to ask you about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I'm not an Eagle fan, and I really could care less about the Eagles. But I just look at football players. I didn't like Jalen Hurts his first year. I said, this guy would never make it. But he really turned around his career, and the kid's playing well. He got injured last year, so that was part of the problem. But for you, you said he's like a 10. He's not in the top 10. He's maybe in the top 15. Is that what you said?
Here's what I'm understanding. Here's what I'm hearing out of Philadelphia, Darren. Is that Nick Sirianni took over. Now Steichen left. Okay. Jalen Hurts had a lot of success in Steve Steichen's offense. Steichen leaves to go coach the Colts. Okay. Right. Nick Sirianni took over a lot of the play calling duties. Even though he was the head coach, he had his hands in the mix of the play calling. In fact, from what I understand, like in regard to his headset and whatnot, he was many a times calling the plays last year for the Eagles. And Sirianni's system, Jalen does not like. And so from what I understand, there was some dissension there, which bled into A.J. Brown not being happy. And we saw Jalen Hurts pouting on the sideline. Then don't forget last year, they elevated to offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, who has been a part of Jalen Hurts and his father's coaching career. So like a Family Guy who they elevated, still not happy. So now they bring in Kellen Moore, which I think is interesting. Is Sirianni still going to have his hands in the mix when it comes to the offense? Time will tell. But I believe that Jalen Hurts is a system guy and needs the right product around him and needs to play in a certain system, or he's not happy. So that's my two cents on Jalen Hurts. I think all the stars have to align so perfectly in order for him to have success in the NFL. And when he doesn't have success, what rubs me the wrong way is his attitude on the sideline when things aren't going well. And we saw it last year. Let's go to Neil in Middletown. Neil, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
By the way, you're one of the best, I won't even say female hosts, but a good host to listen to. My first time listening to you, just FYI. I wanted to say that, you know, the Giants clearly made a mistake of drafting Barkley at that position so high in the draft, and Jones. And after next year, I would think when they release Jones, they can rectify this mistake. Even if you're drafting a quarterback this year, maybe try it later in the rounds. Try one of the kids from Notre Dame, Maryland, or Tulane, a project for a year to see how they are. Because without that quarterback, it doesn't matter which defensive guy you get, free agency. Draft an offensive lineman, start the rebuild.
I think the Giants, and thank you for the compliments, really do appreciate it. You know, listen, I think the Giants are in a really, really tough situation right now because of the contract that they signed with Daniel Jones and because they are on the hook with it. Now, listen, can the Giants go and try to trade Daniel Jones and you know, trade him to a team that has some interest in him? I don't know who does. I'm not hearing that. My expectation is that Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback this year. But based on what Rich Eisen reported last week, that the Giants front office are done with Daniel Jones. Again, this is Rich Eisen from the NFL Network reporting. I would imagine if that's the case and you're done with a quarterback, and now that's what's being communicated out there because that's what's, the feel and the vibe in the front office, then, you know, I think you need to move on from Daniel Jones, but obviously the Giants are in a really bad situation because of the contract that they agreed to with him. But look what the Denver Broncos did. Denver Broncos are on the hook for $39 million with Russell Wilson. Didn't want him in the quarterback room. They're doing a true rebuild. So could the Giants work out some type of trade deal as we get closer to the draft or during the draft for Daniel Jones and then make Drew Lock your legit backup quarterback or maybe your bridge starter, and you go out and you draft a quarterback, maybe you move up and go get Drake May. I'd love to see the Giants do that. I really would. But I don't see it happening. I think Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback. And, you know, how good can this team be? You know, that's really the big question in this division.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click, click, click.
Or don't. Click, click, boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
All right, time to find out what's trending at 1:22 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon. It's a segment we call Click or Don't Click. We take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport. We find out what's trending based on the headlines and if we were so inclined or tempted to click to find out what that story is about. Gentlemen, lead the way, our producers, Harvey and Joe. What you got?
So, Anita, have you been watching NBA basketball this season?
Of course. Well, yes. I typically ramp it up after the NFL season is over. There's only so many hours in a day, and you know me. So, but yes, to answer your question, yes.
So you're aware of the officiating problem that we have in the NBA this year?
I'm aware of all the complaints.
So there was a memo sent out by the NBA league office about the officiating. Uh-oh. Click or don't click.
Okay. Oh, I'm curious. I'm clicking that.
So in a meeting with the NBA's competition committee on Tuesday, the league office outlined an increased officiating focus on offensive players hunting for fouls and how they're veering off in pathways that are not the basket and into defenders, and how those points of emphasis should be, you know, increased through the second half of the season. So, or at least the stretch run post All-Star break. So hopefully this league memo will put a damper on the officiating and not making them the story and actually allowing the players to play basketball.
Okay. So the NBA is trying to guide them on what to call and what not to call?
What to call, what not to call, what to look for. It's like, you know, holding penalties in the NFL, how there's an increased emphasis on calling holding penalties or defensive offsides. The league also said in this memo, future evaluation at a future committee meeting will determine whether or not the rules and the implications of those rules should be changed for next season.
Okay. I'm fortunate. I really haven't had many games, if any, that I won or lost wagering due to a call. I'm sure once I do, I'll be more heated about it. but nonetheless, more this year than years past, NBA players complain about the officials. And also I think because gambling is so prevalent now and so on the front burner, calls and officiating is so important. It's so important that they get it right, right?
Well, you would think they're the officials. You have to get the call right. And with instant replay, you have to get the call right.
With instant replay, exactly. You would think with instant replay, yes, you've got to get the play. You've got to get the calls right. But we've seen it still not get right even with instant replay, right? Which is kind of mind-boggling, but nonetheless. What else do you guys got?
All right, before Keenan Allen was traded to the Bears, there was two other teams interested in him. Click or don't click?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious who wanted Keenan Allen's talents.
Okay, yes. So Keenan Allen spoke to the media in Chicago and said that the two teams interested in him were the Houston Texans
Ooh.
And your New York Jets.
Okay.
Now, he said that there wasn't any emotion in leaving the Chargers because they asked him to take a pay cut, and he said, no way. And so now he's in Chicago, and he's possibly looking to lock down a long-term deal with the Bears. But Anita, how much better would you feel about Joe Douglas if he was able to swing a trade for Keenan Allen?
Listen, I think Keenan Allen is spectacular. But again, you know, and we had Rich Cimini on the show. The Jets were one of those teams that, you know, were cap strapped. And here you've got Keenan Allen saying, you know, I'm not going to stay with the Chargers because they were asking me to take a pay cut. You know, and also, you know, Father Time is not on his side. He's been in the league for quite a while. I don't know if you have that in front of you, you know, what year vet he is, at least a decade, if I remember correctly. So, you know, at that point, in, you know, at this stage of the game in your career, yes, you want to win, but at the same time, you know that pretty much you're towards the end of your longevity in the NFL. And the most important thing is getting the most amount of money before you have to hang up those cleats.
Next season will be year 11.
Yeah, exactly. See? So I don't think the Jets could have afforded him. Even though I think he comes here given a really good opportunity to go and win, more so than in Chicago. But I think at this stage in the game of his career, I think he's looking for the most money, which, you know, probably is the wisest thing to do, you know?
Yes.
You guys have one more thing that's trending?
I'll give you one more here. How long will the Bills keep Stephon Diggs? Click or don't click?
Ooh, yeah, I'm clicking that because it's been interesting. Like, he's been very active on social media, putting out a lot of cryptic messages. And we've known for quite a while now, which is that we're going on the third year now, that he's suggested that he wants out of Buffalo. And let's be honest, he's definitely a top, you can argue, top five, top seven wide receiver in the NFL. So, yeah.
Yeah, his trading him before June 1st would trigger a cap charge of $31 million. He has an 18.5 salary guarantee that's guaranteed this weekend, and his cap number will be almost $28 million. Now, you kind of wonder, like, who would he go to? Who would the Bills trade him to? He and Josh Allen aren't really, like, buddy-buddy. He's also not really been big on the playoffs as well. He hasn't performed well in the playoffs, so you kind of wonder who would try to trade for him, if anybody.
I think there'd be a lot of teams that would want to trade for him. I think his frustration is from the fact that, unfortunately, you know, the Buffalo Bills have made it to the postseason so many years, but then dwindle and don't advance and haven't played, you know, in that big Super Bowl game. And I think he feels that, you know, with his skill set, he should be on a ball club that can, you know? So I think with Stephon Diggs, you know, I think it's polar opposite than Keenan Allen. I don't think it's so much about the money. I think it's wanting, especially at this stage in his career, wanting to be with a ball club that he knows has a great chance of going out there and winning a Super Bowl. And I don't think he thinks that the Buffalo Bills can seal the deal. They can get there, but at the end of the day, you know, they can't win the big one. They could compete. They could get it close. They could take it into overtime with Patrick Mahomes. But they can't beat him. And in the AFC, that's who you've got to get past. And now let's look. They because they're so cap strapped, very similar to the Chargers, they had to shed a lot of talent, and a lot of the talent that they did shed was in their secondary. So now you've had a real difficult time beating Patrick Mahomes with what you had, with good horses in your stable, especially in the secondary. Now how do you expect to beat Patrick Mahomes? I think the writing's on the wall, and I think he wants out. But that's no surprise. We've heard that song and dance before from Stephon Diggs.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Market money means one thing. Joe Wiz, he's got his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN. You can tune in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. How you doing?
Hey, Anita. Thanks for having me back on. We're getting ready for all the madness. Election Sunday. It's just a little bit over 24 hours away, and super excited to see who goes where.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk some college hoops. I always like to tell people, give some folks some winners on Saturday so you head into Sunday playing with some house money. And let's start with Houston, first and foremost. I don't mind laying the 5.5 against Iowa State. The over-under is 123. I also have a small lean on the under here. Both these teams mirror each other a lot. Both of them have excellent defense. But Iowa State, their offense has been struggling as of late. I want to say the last month, 151st in offensive efficiency, where I just don't think offensively they're going to be able to keep up with Houston. So I'm not shy to lay the 5.5. Any play in this matchup?
Yeah, when you take a look at it, they met twice this year, and they met at Iowa State. The Cyclones won that game 57-53, a very low-scoring game. And then on February 19th, Iowa State returned the favor. It was still close, though. It was 73-65. I think that if Houston's going to win the game, they're going to need to control the tempo here. Houston goes under quite a bit. They've played 14 overs and 18 unders, and I think I'd like to play the total in this game here, Anita. I'd rather go with the under here. Even Iowa State, they have a very explosive offense, but their spread record's really good. They're 21-10-2 against the spread, but Iowa State also goes under, just a little bit under 500. So I'd rather take a look at the total in this play and go under between Houston and Iowa State at 122. It seems low, but Houston's defense is something else.
You've got Marquette and UConn tipping off at the Garden later on tonight at 6:30. UConn, this line now, it was 8.5 this morning. It's now moved up to 9.5, going up against Marquette. The over-under is 143. I like UConn here. I'm not shy. I'll lay this, but probably no more than where it's at right now. If it creeps up to 10.5, I'll probably pass. But at 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5, I'll play it. What say you?
Yeah, Nita, when you take a look at it, it's very difficult to bet against UConn. They're the defending national champions, and this morning on my show, I projected UConn. I'm expecting them to repeat. That's my pick to win the championship again this year. They're 30-3. They went right down to the wire with St. John's, and St. John's gave UConn all they could handle. I had St. John's plus the 9. I thought the spread was relatively generous here, and I think the line is going up, even though that most people knew that the guard for Marquette, Tyler Kolek, has been out for the several weeks now. Marquette knocked out UConn last year in the Big East Finals. And ironically, as much success as UConn has had, they've won, five national titles, and they're going for their sixth. They haven't won a Big East crown. You have to go back all the way to 2011, Nita, and that's when Kemba Walker, remember him? He used to play for the Knicks. Whatever happened to him? That's the last time UConn actually won a Big East. They've left for a couple of years. They came back in 2020. I'm not interested in laying double digits here. The line's 9.5. I'm taking the 10 with Marquette. Marquette. I think that this game is going to be a lot closer than what the spread indicates. I know that when they met early in the season, March 6th, it was 74-67. UConn went over to Marquette in Wisconsin and beat them. But on the 17th of February, it was a blowout. UConn won the game 81-53. It was a big revenge game because that was when UConn had lost last year in the Big East. That was their only loss before they went on to that big winning streak to win the national championship. And they won last year 70-68. Marquette getting 10 points is just too much for me to pass up. I'm even though I like UConn, rooting for them, local interest. I'm taking the 10. I'm buying the hook and taking the 10 with Marquette.
You've got North Carolina State, fifth seed, still competing and trying to beat the Tar Heels, UNC, later on tonight. 8:30 is tip-off. I'm not shy here. I'm going to lay the points. At some point in time, North Carolina State's got to turn into a pumpkin. They've been here too long. UNC is just too good. I'm going to lay the 10. The over-under is 144.5. Any play in this matchup?
Ooh, this is a tough one because I normally don't like, playing those big favorites here. I got lucky last night with NC State. Virginia had the game won, Anita, and they missed the front end of a one-on-one, and somehow NC State extended it to overtime, and it was just crazy how it went up with the game. The total in this game's at 145, the totals here, when these two teams meet, they generally go under. So I think that NC State, if they're going to be able to compete with North Carolina, they're going to have to keep it a low-scoring affair. And the last 10 matchups, last 10 meetings have been 5 overs, 5 unders, but the last 4 meetings, including this year, both have went under. North Carolina won 79-70 and 67-54. Both games were relatively low scoring. The total is at 145 or 146 right now. I'd like to take a shot with the total under in this game, under 145. NC State, the only chance they have of winning, they don't want to get into a shootout, keep it low scoring and hope the Tar Heels fall into this low scoring affair.
Probably my favorite play tonight is Western Kentucky lane 3 against UTEP. I think that they're the better team here, definitely having a rest advantage as well. The over under is 144.5, and like I said, this might be my favorite play today on the slate. What say you?
Yeah, these two teams met on February 15th. Western Kentucky won the game 90-80, but then they also met in El Paso against UTEP. UTEP had won 93-87. But Western Kentucky has had their way with the Miners. They're 8-1 and 7-2 against the spread. With the relatively low spread here, I do lean towards Western Kentucky. The lines are 2.5. I would recommend if you're going to play the Hilltoppers in Western Kentucky. I normally when the lines were generally lower than 3 points in either, I'm just doing the money line. I lean with Mr. Kentucky, not one of my better plays, but if I do play him, it would be on the money line.
You've got to play in the Bonaventure game, right? St. Bonaventure game?
Well, yeah, we got a couple games here. Earlier today, we started out with a big upset. Princeton got upset in either today. Columbia, they lost to Brown, so Princeton might be out of the tournament. They've dominated. They come in with 24-3 record, which is crazy. But St. Bonaventure, yes, playing Duquesne. St. Bonaventure has been playing lights out. They've won quite a bit of games, and they're playing St. Bonaventure. They beat them twice this year. I think they're going to do it again. Game goes at 3:30. Line is 2. Again, when the line's less than 2 or 2.5, moving on the money line. Duquesne, looking for them to make it a trifecta against St. Bonaventure. Duquesne advances.
And any other college basketball before we move on to some NBA?
Absolutely. There's a lot of college basketball games here. I'm really excited here because we have a lot of teams locally. St. Peter's has a chance to get back into the tournament, and either they pulled off the upset. They beat Ryder. They beat Quinnipiac yesterday, and tonight they play against Fairfield. And Fairfield's a very good team at 22-11 here. St. Peter's is getting 3 points here. I'm going to take a shot with the Peacocks and see if they can perform some magic and take St. Peter's because we got Seton Hall, who's on the bubble. and St. John's is on the bubble. St. Peter's needs to win this game in order to qualify for the tournament. This is a, you know, they have no shot of making the tournament unless they win out in this game here. So I'm taking a shot with St. Peter's plus three. I'm expecting the game to be a low-scoring defensive game. And when they played last time at the Yanitili Center at St. Peter's on February 10th, it was 64-62. So I'm expecting another tight game. I'm taking St. Peter's plus the three in an upset.
Joe is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, he has his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN on Saturday mornings. Make sure you tune in. Looking at the NBA, there's two games that I'm playing. One is the Golden State Warriors in LA taking on the Lakers. I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the Lakers. The over-under is 233. This is a Lakers team. They own the Warriors. And a big reason why is because of AD. The Warriors just don't have an answer for him in the paint. So I'm going to play the Lakers. I'll lay the 2.5. And also I like over, I want to say it's at 23.5 points for AD tonight against the Warriors, who, by the way, Draymond Green, questionable game time decision. Curry as well. He's dealing with that ankle issue. Any play in that matchup?
Yeah, I agree with you on the Lakers. You know, Curry is a game-time decision, and it's an ankle issue. So even if he does come back, who knows if he'll be 100%. Same thing with Draymond. And the Lakers play well at home, and they have dominated the Golden State Warriors. The line right now is like he's at 2. I'm on L.A. I'm doing the money line with L.A. To knock off the Warriors. I think it should be a high-scoring affair, but my official play in that game would be the Lakers to knock off Golden State.
And last but not least, let's bring it home and let's talk about the Knicks. 10 p.m., late tip-off, so it's going to be a late night for folks. Going up against the Sacramento Kings, I'm on the Kings' side here at -3.5. I think the Knicks are going to have a hard time keeping lockstep with them, especially out there out west. OG tweaking his shoulder issue. I know he's questionable whether or not he's going to play tonight. Also, I think the play here is the under at 217.5. And probably my favorite play is Josh Hart over 9.5 rebounds. Dude's been a complete beast rebounding the ball, and he's averaging 40 minutes a game. So Josh Hart over 9.5 rebounds is my favorite play in this matchup. What say you?
Yeah, when you take a look at the Knicks right now, they're 39-27, 35-30 against the spread. Anita, I've been playing this total all year long, and I'm going to continue to ride it. The Knicks, 65% of the Knicks games are all under plays. They've gone under in 10 of 11. And I know a lot of people listen to the show, and they always ask me, hey, Wiz, you're playing the under? I said, yeah, don't even ask anymore, because, you know, the Knicks, even when they get healthy and they get all their guys back, if they ever do, you know, Thibodeau is a defensive-oriented coach, and that's obvious. But just them see 10 of 11 and 23 overs, 42 under, 65%. That's one of the strongest total trends in all of the NBA. So I do like the under in this game here, especially if OG doesn't play. That would even make it stronger. But under's the play between the Sacramento Kings and New York Knicks.
All right, we're close to opening day, kicking off in Major League Baseball. There's quite a few futures bets out there that I do like, that I've dabbled in. What say you? Anything that you're playing Major League Baseball-wise before the season starts?
Yeah, well, it starts on Wednesday, Anita. Set your alarm clock early. I know you're up early playing pickleball at 5 in the morning, so you'll be up early anyway. But anyway, baseball starts at 6:05. 6:05. It's from Tokyo, Seoul, Korea. Glass now and Darvish. I'm glad you asked me about it because I'm really pumped up about the baseball season. It's here. I know the official season doesn't start till the following week, but these two teams count, and these two games. And Glasnow's a huge favorite at -200. You're going to see the Dodgers overpriced all year long. And Glasnow's 200 against Darvish. In that matchup, I like the under in that game, under 8.5 runs. And Thursday, come back again and play at 6:05. Yamamoto's pitching. Everybody knows about Yamamoto. He played the Mets pretty good. And, you know, he wanted the Yankees also wanted him. Musgrove's going up against him. Yamamoto's been struggling. I know we don't pay much attention to spring training, but you're going to get a price with the Padres. I like Musgrove over Yamamoto on Thursday. It's great to talk baseball, you know, right now in the middle of March, but the season actually starts on Wednesday. It's official. Those two games count. And then the following Thursday, you know, we got opening day, Astros and Yankees and Mets and Brewers. Really excited, Anita.
Yeah. It's an exciting time. March Madness, baseball starting, boys of summer getting into some action, even though, of course, it's really spring. and you know, just coming out of the tailspin of free agency. And of course, we'll be talking about the NFL draft. Never a dull moment in our wide, wide world of sport. And always good to have you on, Joe. Thank you so much. Why don't you let the folks know exactly all the ways that they can find you and find your picks?
Thanks, I appreciate it. On the Fine Line, I'm on every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We kick it off and tip it off, I should say, during basketball season. And, of course, on Twitter, I do have free picks available, Joe with Sports, and my website's joewithsports.com. But Twitter, free picks on Instagram and Twitter, Joe with Sports. I got a free pick up there right now. And we've been doing really well with them. And the Rangers are coming up here in a few minutes, Anita. I'd like the Rangers to knock off the Penguins as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
You read this story, Paul Alexander, the man who survived 7 decades in an iron lung, he passed away this week. So in 1952, he got polio in the outbreak in Dallas and left him paralyzed from the neck down and was unable to breathe on his own. So the solution to keep him alive was an iron lung. He went on to become a lawyer and an author. In March, the Guinness World Book of Records declared him to be the longest living iron lung patient in history. Did you guys see the story? It's really, can you imagine?
I saw the photos and it's incredible.
Wow.
That stuff. Really scary.
So, you know, Godspeed. Really, really unbelievable. By the way, sorry, I've got two computers here going, guys. Not... Not the wisest thing to do. It's time now for our tournament update brought to you by Bet365 and taking a look at some of the scores that are out there right now. Purdue and Wisconsin going at it right now. This is for the Big Ten tournament semifinal. And Wisconsin up on Purdue 33-32 with about a minute left in the first half. Auburn and Mississippi State going at it as well. This was a close one, about a minute left in the first half. Mississippi State up on Auburn 28-26. A little bit later on, around 3:30, you got Nebraska going up against Illinois. And I do like Nebraska here getting the 4.5. Iowa State going up against Houston. I'm on Houston here at -5.5. I'll lay the points. They're just so good. And don't get me wrong, Iowa State is good as well. These two teams really do mirror each other. Just Iowa State offensively has fallen by the wayside. Not as great as they were prior to heading into the conference championships. UConn favored by 9.5 against Marquette. Again, UConn, I think, is just too good for Marquette. I like the 9.5. If it gets to 10.5, I won't play it. But sitting there at 9.5, I'm going to take it. This is the Big East Tournament Final. And then NC State going up against North Carolina. And this is the ACC Tournament Final. UNC favored by 10.5. Yes, it's double digits, but they're just so good. And NC State, a fifth seed, you know, they're about to turn into a pumpkin. It's over. Stick a fork in them. There's just no way that they're going to be able to stay lockstep with UNC. Again, tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Whatever your sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. That's for sure.